The solution to man's dilemma, a most important word that modern Bible translators cannot even render into English because of the church's ignorance of the laws, is found in the account. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." John 8:2-11 NKJ. Why is this account so important to the modern believer? Because the word for sin in the phrase, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first," is not only a word used uniquely in this verse and does not appear anywhere else in the scriptures, but is indicative of a person who has never sinned, even over the course of the previous lifetimes that their soul has lived. Thayer's Bible Dictionary renders this word sinless, used on one who has not sinned, used of one who cannot sin. And in Jesus' response to the woman, we can observe the paradox that while we are not to judge and condemn the sinner primarily because of the conditions of growth and development that necessitated what man portrays as sin, yet we must not only be discerning of what constitutes sin, as well as the causes of sin. It is equally important that we must not condone or be complacent to sin, with respect to the commandment to refrain from even the appearance of sin. Paul states, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6:17-18 NKJ. In fact, Paul went as far as to command believers to have nothing to do with sinners. That is, "I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." 1 Cor 5:9-13 NKJ. With respect to what Paul commands in the above, we are representative of a culture that is so immersed in sexual immorality, teaching our sons and daughters to embrace every aspect of this sexually immoral culture, that it can be factually stated that we have abandoned every important teaching of the gospel. We simply have absolutely nothing in common with the gospel teachings of the way, and in believing that we are exempt from the commandments and laws of God, we are a lawless and apostate people. We not only open our doors to the very people who we are commanded not even to share a meal with, we imitate their mindset, thinking, culture, and lifestyle. Then we make the absurd claim of being believers in the gospel and the scriptures. In order to even begin to fulfill the requirements set forth in the above verses, we must not judge our brothers and sisters because we understand the laws that bring about the necessary development of the lost prodigal sons and daughters. And this mindset of non-judgment can only result from a thorough knowledge of the cause and nature of sin and evil. We must be able to discern sin to the enlightened degree that we do not become entrapped in a life of sin, maintaining a mental and spiritual wall of separation from both the sinner and the cause of sin, and have no part in their mindset, or their thinking, or their lifestyle. Yet, we must be able to fulfill the role of a servant and guide to our brothers and sisters who have lost their way in this world. The requirement is this: you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matt 5:13-16 in KJ. The salt represents a preserving environment that is necessary to sustain life. That believers are required to be the light of the world and a guide into the way of life, teaching with their actions and lifestyle the works that glorify our Heavenly Father, represents the commandment that the church has long neglected. The requirement is not to preach the gospel with one's words and rhetoric, but rather with the actions and works of one's lifestyle and way of life. Every conceptual element of the gospel message confirms that statement that static faith apart from one's actions is dead. That the Christian world has rejected the teachings of the way is evident in the requirement. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matt 5:17-20 in KJ. The solution to the dilemma of the lost prodigal sons and daughters is to strive to overcome the obstacles in one's life and to bring about healing by seeking the truth and living the necessary lifestyle that promotes the expansion and enlightenment of the mind and being. The laws which control every aspect of one's life in this world not only returns to each person the fruit of their own past ways, but returns to each person where they left off in their more distant past.